Yeah, we're used to dealing with stuff like this, being on the road, going to all kinds of different places. Preaching means inconvenience. It's one place that had a plastic bottle full of rocks. It said, "Doorbell broken, shake bottle." Oh, yeah, if we were Germans, then yeah, it would be tight. But Prabhupada faced all kinds of inconveniences. There's so many places where he says preaching means inconvenience. So if you're facing inconvenience, you can feel at one with Prabhupada, Haridas Thakur. Who else faced inconvenience? All the devotees, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami. They went through a lot. When you go out and try to help people, there's a saying that no good deed goes unpunished. You ever heard that one before? No good deed goes unpunished. So you try to help people, and you've probably got experience. The very people you're trying to help end up giving you trouble. But we just carry on anyway. So here we are. Well, this is... We are on text 17, chapter 6, Srimad Bhagavatam. And our time is... We go till what time? 8:30? Ish. Okay. When was... It was like over a week ago that you read the previous verse. Who remembers what's going on here? Anybody? Do we have the other microphone handy? Can we get that going? Sorry. Meanwhile, who knows what's going on here? Who's speaking to who? Narada is speaking to Vyasadeva. Is he right? You don't know? Right? Okay. And what is he speaking about? About his journey. All right. And what was the original intention of this conversation? To chastise Vyasadeva? It did kind of start off like that, but inspire him to write Srimad Bhagavatam. And what are some of the reasons he gave why writing such a book would be good? Take the mic.
He didn't have any descriptions about the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
All right, good. Didn't have descriptions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What were you going to say over there?
Okay.
Okay, develop a taste. Yes, to give things so people can develop a taste for Krishna. What were some of the things, what were some of the criticisms? You said he got chastised, so what were some of the...
Too much fruitive activities, fruitive rewards, fruitive results, karma kind of stuff.
He's... Okay, what books had he written up to that point?
All the Vedas.
All of the Vedas. And what else? Mahabharat, itihasas, which means the histories. So what was his criticism of all of those books? Well, you pointed out one. He hasn't described him enough, yes. What other, something that I found in the purport, which is really interesting, Prabhupada says, he'd already written the Vedanta Sutra at that time. The author of the Vedanta Sutra feels unsatisfied. How can people reading Vedanta Sutra feel satisfaction? without his commentary, the Bhagavatam, you're not going to get the real meaning of Vedanta Sutra. That's powerful. Prabhupada's bold. Let's see. Were any of you there when I read my little offering? I just walked in and started reading it. I didn't get to introduce what it was about. Did any of you hear it for Vyasapuja yesterday? He heard it. He heard it. Okay. What it was about was how, well, the idea is how Prabhupada, when he would meet book distributors, he would ask them, so what are you saying to the people out there? How are you showing the books? And he was like curious, like, tell me what's going on. And then the devotees would say, well, we say this. And then, well, what do they say? What are they saying about these books? And so he wanted to hear their challenges, their criticisms, and then what are the devotees? What are you guys saying back to them? And sometimes he would give suggestions on what to say, but he was very interested in that. And so my offering was sort of like a report. Here's what I've been doing. I read your books to people, and these people are challenged by them. College students who say, yeah, we're all atheists, but they wanted to read what Prabhupada had to say about Darwin. And so I put a quote in there, how Prabhupada was saying, let's see, how did that go? Anyway, they're speaking, they're giving incomplete information. They're saying this comes about by chance. As soon as you say chance, that means you don't know. So someone who says something happened by chance and he claims to be a teacher, he's not a teacher, he's a cheater. And the students that were reading that, they loved it, even though they're all said they're atheists. When they heard Prabhupada criticizing like that, they said, I like this guy. I like how bold he is. Then another section I read was to the yoga students. We go to yoga classes and we do kirtan with these people for an hour, hour and a half, and then we give them each a copy of Perfection of Yoga. And then we say, now we're going to make this more valuable. We're going to read together. Everybody read one sentence. They call that popcorn reading. That's an American phrase. You read a sentence, she reads a sentence, she reads the next one. So all these yoga students are reading Prabhupada saying, this so-called manufactured yoga system where people simply practice some gymnastics in order to increase their health and increase their sex life is just another form of cheating. This show bottle practice of yoga will not give one the real benefit of yoga. And again, when the people read it coming from Prabhupada, they say, wow, this is so cool. I really like this. We read a lot about Arjuna and the Bhagavad Gita, and then it leads up to that paragraph, and we're just waiting and watching, like, okay. Because 100%, every time, they love it. They love how Prabhupada challenges them. So in his purports, he's challenging practically all of India, the Vedanta Society. He's saying, how can you be happy studying the Vedanta? Srimad Bhagavatam, compiled by Srila Vyasadeva in the maturity of his realization. Srimad Bhagavate Maha Mune Krite Kimba Parairishwaraha Sadyo Hridyavarudyate Tra Kritibi Shushu Shubis Tatkshanat. So within a very short period of time, the Supreme Lord will be manifest within your heart just by reading Srimad Bhagavatam. What need is there for any other book? All right, so now this verse, the previous verse, I'm going to have to read that. What else was Narada saying about what he wanted him to do? I want you to describe the glories of the Lord, and are there any other things you can think of from that section? Yeah, relation with the devotees. That's what makes it, that's what Bhagavatam means. Bhagavatam doesn't mean just Krishna. It also, Bhagavat, in many places, means the devotees. Thank you. So he tells a story. He says, I want you to write a book like this. Because stories is what really moves people. There's a saying, facts tell, stories sell. So we want to be sold. We want to be convinced. We want to be moved. This is the Hare Krishna movement. We want something. We don't want to just move material things around. We want to move our own heart, and we want to move other people's hearts. That's why we move tents and books and buildings. We do all of these things. We're moving things around in order to move hearts. This is the Hare Krishna movement. It's not just compiling facts, but facts that move our heart. So he said, let me tell you a story. In my previous birth, I heard stories. Although I was just a child. Now, he mentioned some of his qualifications when he was a child. Does anyone remember? Yeah, he wasn't interested in play. Nothing wrong with playing, though. We should be playful. But that was one of his qualifications. He was interested in hearing, yeah. He was attracted to those sages that were staying at his house. Yeah, he was engaged in serving them. So that, yeah, he was interested in them. He had affection for them. He wasn't naughty. That was one of the things. He behaved himself. And he had more attraction to them than he had for playing. And then, so how did he get the mercy from them? Inquiring, yeah. He did inquire from them. And at one time, with their permission, he took the remnants of their food. And in the purport to that, Prabhupada says how bhakti is like an infectious disease. So just being around bhakti, we feel it. Unless we are, what's the word? Atmaha, the killer of the soul or the killer of animals. Pashugnat, vina na pashugnat. And I think I talked about that last time, how when we see people crying, we feel like crying. When we see someone yawning, we feel like yawning because we have empathy, unless we're psychopathic. That's one of the tests of who's a psychopath, is they have people yawn and then they just see who responds to it. So when we're around bhakti, we feel it, unless we have some psychological problems. But even for those people, Krishna can still manifest to them. So Narada says, here's the story. Look what it did to me. I was a child, so even a child can be moved by this. Then when his mother died, he knew what to do. He just walked, went somewhere private, meditated. Now here's another story within a story. Years ago, this devotee joined the Chicago Temple. This was like 1976. He was all lined up to get initiated by Prabhupada, and he thought, I can't follow this my whole life. So he left, disappeared, and he showed up again. When was it? 1987. And he stayed at our little preaching center in Wisconsin. 1987. He was making another go at it. And I said, just, you know, follow what you can. Just keep hearing. And he told me how when he went back to his family in Minnesota, and he went out deer hunting with his friends. He took the Srimad Bhagavatam with him. And while the hunters were sitting around the campfire, he read them this story of Narada. And he said, he looked around. They all had tears in their eyes from hearing Narada's story. How he was all alone in the world. He was a child. He went and meditated. He found the Lord. And then he gets this beautiful vision. And then Krishna leaves. So this story could move deer hunters in Minnesota, spoken by a devotee who left. These words have so much power. Doesn't matter who's speaking them. The story is so strong, it carries through. It has Shakti. So Narada says, you should write a book like this. Full of stories, full of things that will move people's hearts. So now we're getting into the highest part of his story. The previous verse talks about, well, let's see if any of you know this verse. Ado Shraddha Tata Sadhu Sangota Bhajana Kriya Anartha Nivritti Syat. What's the... Tato Nishta Tata Ruchi, etc., etc. Do you know the other verse? The rest of it? I'm still working on the first part, but okay. So he goes through all of those phases. Adau Shraddha means in the beginning there's some faith. Then Adau Shraddha Tata Sadhu Sangata. So you, with that faith, you take on sadhu sangha, association with devotees. Then bhajana kriya, you take on some devotional practice. Your bhajana kriya cleanses your heart, anartha nivritti. So all of the bad things are cleared out of the heart. It seems impossible. Prabhupada said about us Western devotees, he said, not you guys, but about us Western devotees. He said, it's like washing coal. You can just keep washing and it just, when's it ever going to get clean? But we keep at it, even though it seems impossible. You just keep washing that coal. And eventually we do come to the point of anartha nivritti. Anartha nivritti, then what's the next stage? Nishta, you become fixed. Like a German. Okay, lots of German jokes today. So in the previous verse, let's look at that. As soon as I began to meditate upon the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead, with my mind transformed in transcendental love, tears rolled down my eyes, and without delay, the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, appeared on the lotus of my heart. Purport. The word bhava is significant here. I'm reading from text 16. The bhava stage is attained after one has transcendental affection for the Lord. The first initial stage is called shraddha, or a liking for the Supreme Lord. And in order to increase that liking, one has to associate with pure devotees of the Lord. So interesting, different wording of what we just said. Instead of faith, he says, you just like it. The third stage is to practice the prescribed rules and regulations of devotional service. So what's that called? Bhajana Kriya. Everybody? This will dissipate all sorts of misgivings and remove all personal deficiencies that hamper progress in devotional service. What's that called? Okay, everyone together? Anartha Nivritti. When all misgivings and personal deficiencies are removed, there is a standard faith in transcendental matter. And what's that called? Nishta. Everyone? and the taste for it increases in greater proportion. Everyone together? Ruchi. So you get a taste. So all of these things, it does go anukramishyati, shraddha, ratir, bhaktir, anukramishyati, one after another. But it also, we feel all of these things at the very beginning. They're all kind of happening at once, but we'll have one stage where we're really working on this one. We all get some kind of taste. Okay, next one. This stage leads to attraction. Asakti. And after this, there is bhav, or the prior stage of unalloyed love for God. So this is described, those two verses are taken apart by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and he's written a book called Madhurya Kadambini, and it's so poetic how he describes this. And going through all of these phases, you feel like, wow, he understands me. When he talks about anartha nivritti and how we struggle to get there, you feel like, wow, this guy, he's been there, he's done that. He really understands what I'm going through. Then ruchi, and how beautiful that is. It's like we're going up this really steep mountain of anartha nivritti to get to nishta. Once we get there, then we look down into the valley on the other side, and it's beautiful, and it's just a nice, gentle walk down into ruchi, asakti, bhav, then prem. That's where it gets really, really tasty and fun. Right now we're doing the work, we're climbing. We have to push ourselves. So when he's describing all of these stages, he talks about the asakti stage, and he says, in the asakti stage, which is attraction, the devotee feels a strong attraction for hearing about Krishna and discussing Krishna. But at some stage, once in a while, his mind still gets diverted, and he starts thinking about something else, and he wonders, how did I get here? The next stage is bhav, where there's some deep emotion, and he describes it as being just the opposite. You're trying to take care of some task in this world. You're trying to think of some math problem or something, but somehow you find yourself thinking of Krishna, and you wonder, how did I get here? He says, when he opens up that chapter about bhav, he says, this devotional creeper, he starts off how the first two leaves of the devotional creeper are, let's see, who remembers that? Oh, good, yeah. Kleshagni and Shubhada. So the first two leaves of our little tiny creeper are all of our miseries go away and all auspiciousness comes. So it's such a nice plant. Just the first leaves, all those nice things come. And then it just grows and grows. And so as he's describing these verses, he's comparing it to the plant. And then he says that plant has gone all the way up and it's penetrated the coverings of the universe, and now little buds are forming. They're not quite flowers yet. And it's so dramatic when you've read the whole book and you get to that point. Little buds are forming. You've done all of this work for so long. Then, in the next stage, bhav. Well, in bhav, then it starts to open as a flower. In prem, that's when that flower turns into the fruit. So I'm doing the build-up to read this verse. All the above different stages are but different stages of development of transcendental love. Being so surcharged with transcendental love, there comes a strong feeling of separation, which leads to eight different kinds of ecstasies. Now he's describing prem. Tears from the eyes of a devotee is an automatic reaction, and because Sri Narada Muni in his previous birth attained that stage very quickly, After his departure from home, it was quite possible for him to perceive the actual presence of the Lord, which he tangibly experienced by his developed spiritual senses without material tinge. So today's verse, prema means love. Atibhara, excessive. Nirbhinna, especially distinguished. Prema tibhara nirbhinna. Prema tibhara nirbhinna. Puluka, feelings of happiness. Anga, different bodily parts. Atinirvrita, being fully overwhelmed. Pulakango tinirvrita. Pulakango tinirvrita. Ananda, ecstasy. Samplave, in the ocean of. Lina, absorbed in. Ananda samplave lino. Ananda samplave lino. Na, not. Apashyam, could see. Ubhayam, both. Mune, O Vyasadeva. He couldn't see both himself and the Lord. He just only saw, he was so absorbed in happiness, he lost himself in there. Napashyam, napashyam ubhayam mune. Napashyam ubhayam mune. Translation, O Vyasadeva, at that time, being exceedingly overpowered by feelings of happiness, every part of my body became separately enlivened. Being absorbed in an ocean of ecstasy, I could not see both myself and the Lord. Please repeat, O Vyasadeva, at that time, being exceedingly overpowered by feelings of happiness, every part of my body became separately enlivened. Being absorbed in an ocean of ecstasy, I could not see both myself and the Lord. What's another instance of a child seeing the Lord and becoming so enlivened? Dhruva. Anyone remember anything from that description?
Offered prayers after the Lord touched him with his conch shell, I think.
Yeah. But the feelings that he had before are described. It's similar, and it describes how each of the senses just wanted to serve the Lord. So it's a pretty short purport. I'll read that and then we'll. Yes?
I remember you said all I have desired before is like piece of glasses.
Yes. Yes, that's actually not from the Bhagavatam. That's from another book. Does anyone know? I was always wondering, where is that from? But it's from another book that Prabhupada quotes. That one about, I was searching for pieces of broken glass, but I found a jewel. So the purport, spiritual feelings of happiness and intense ecstasies have no mundane comparison. Therefore, it is very difficult to give expression to such feelings. We can just have a glimpse of such ecstasy in the words of Sri Narad Muni. Each and every part of the body or senses has its particular function. After seeing the Lord, all the senses become fully awakened to render service unto the Lord. Because in the liberated state, the senses are fully efficient in serving the Lord. As such, in that transcendental ecstasy, it so happened that the senses became separately enlivened to serve the Lord. This being so, Narad Muni lost himself in seeing both himself and the Lord simultaneously. So we're talking about spiritual senses here. It's a wonderful recording of Prabhupada speaking in Hawaii before there was any temple there. He's just in somebody's house. There's a small group of devotees. And he's speaking on the prayers by Prahlad Maharaj. Within that discourse, he speaks that those series of verses in the Bhagavad Gita, in the stage of perfection, samadhi, one feels oneself, how does that one start? Sukham atyantikam yattat buddhigrayam matindriyai. The stage of perfection is called trance or samadhi. When one is fully focused on the Lord, well, in that stage of the Gita, it's not really so much bhakti yet. This is just the beginning stages of yoga. But in there it says one enjoys himself with transcendental senses. So Prabhupada takes that phrase, buddhigrayam atindriyai, and he said, our material senses are covered by matter. We're not really enjoying directly. We are spiritual beings. He said, just like if you were to wrap a cloth around your tongue and you try to eat something tasty, you don't get the full experience. So through our material senses, we're just getting a tiny trace of the happiness that comes through the senses. When we're fully awakened to our spiritual nature, Prabhupada got really excited. It was so fun to hear that, because he's a young man. This was like 1971, maybe even 1969, I think it was. So how old was he then? 69 plus 4. 73. So he's a young person. I have friends that are 73, and they're pretty lively. And Prabhupada was really excited. His voice was breaking. And so you can look that up. Prabhupada Vani gives you all of his recordings in order, everything, unedited. So the Bhagavatam is opening up. Here in chapter 6, this is in answer to the sages asking, why was this book written? This book is compared to a fruit. We talked about prem being like a fruit. All of the Vedas are a tree. So I see lots of apple trees around here. So you could look at the root of the tree, you can look at the trunk. Can you see an apple in there? Can you taste an apple by chewing on the bark of a tree? There's a procedure. That fruit is really special. Now, someone who knows about apples, who knows about apple trees, they can look at the bark and say, this is an apple tree. There are apples in there. They're lying dormant. So someone who has studied the Bhagavatam, they can look at the rest of the Vedas and say, yeah, I see what this is pointing to. I see where this is going. But without the Bhagavatam, there's no fruit. What's the use of a tree that gives no fruit? Prabhupada calls these kind of trees impious, good only for burning, only for fuel, trees that don't give fruits and flowers. So the Bhagavatam, what's the first word of Srimad Bhagavatam? Okay, everybody all together? It's complete. Everything's there in that one word. Let's hear it again, together. whole Srimad Bhagavatam, everything is in there. What's the next word? Okay, everybody together?
No.
So what does that imply? Okay, one at a time. Pay your obeisances. And what else does it imply?
Relationship.
It implies there's separate people, individuals. So, the first two words are? What's the next word? Okay, so it's getting more clear. So it's like a flower. It's complete. It's a bud starting to open up. And then Bhagavate, what does that mean? Person who possesses all opulences. Okay, so it's opening more. Then what's the next word? Vasudevaya. So what does that mean? The son of Vasudev. And who's that? To the person who has the purest heart. That's another translation of... Okay. All right. So here specifically it means to Lord Sri Krishna. So let's say that together. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So that's the flower opening up, Srimad Bhagavatam. And we're just, okay, it stated everything right there. Now, it's like analyzing each of those petals, peeling away layers, going deeper and deeper. The first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, what is the last word? Dhimahi. And what does that mean? Let's hear from the ladies. What does dhimahi mean? Anybody? I meditate upon. So that verse describes the personality of Krishna, and it makes it very clear. The personality who first instructed Brahma at the beginning of creation, etc., etc., describes the book in the next verse. Then the third verse, it says, this is the fruit of the tree of the Vedas. Here's the fruit you've been waiting for. You planted that tree so long ago. Now it's opening up, and we've come to this point, Narada explaining the fruit of his meditation. This is where it's supposed to take us, to the point of prema. Now when Vishwanath describes what prema is like, in that book, Madhurya Kadambini, it sounds really awful. He describes it to, he compares it to an elephant in the middle of a forest fire, and he's burning on all sides at one moment, and then the next moment, he finds a cool pond and goes into that and feels relief. Or a traveler is wandering all alone in the hot sun in the desert and then comes upon a cool river with a big shady tree to sit under so he gets water and refreshment. And then after saying that, he describes a little bit about what it's like. The devotee feels intense separation from Krishna, as Prabhupada describes in the previous purport. Being so surcharged with transcendental love, there comes a strong feeling of separation, which leads to eight different kinds of ecstasies. Tears from the eyes of a devotee is an automatic reaction. So he says the devotee feels intense separation from Krishna. The bhava stage sounds really nice. He says in the bhava stage, the devotee is sitting and meditating and he's thinking, what will it feel like to have Krishna someday put his hand on my shoulder? So while he's meditating like that, he feels a hand on his shoulder and he feels intense ecstasy. He feels wonderful. But in the prema stage, it becomes so strong that he faints. In Vishwanath's commentary on this verse that we just read today, he says, he takes some of the words here and says, this means that Narada fainted. And I'll explain a little bit about that from what Vishwanath says on this. That the devotee in prema, because of his intense separation, his longing for Krishna, Krishna appears to him, and we read about this in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He gets the fragrance of Krishna. He smells Krishna, and he realizes, I've never smelled anything like this before. And he becomes so overwhelmed with transcendental emotion, he can't handle it, and he faints. And when he wakes up from that, he feels, I caught the fragrance of Krishna, and I fainted. I'm such a loser. He just feels like an elephant burning in a forest fire. He feels awful. But it's a nice kind of awful. And so that goes on for some time. Then he hears Krishna. Here's the ankle bells. Here's Krishna's flute, or he hears Krishna's voice. So again, he goes through that. This is the sound of Krishna. So much intense emotion, body can't handle it. He faints. Smelling, hearing, tasting. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we read about Lord Chaitanya tasting the prasad from Jagannath. And he's really relishing it. He's sharing it with the other devotees. We've tasted these things before. These are just mundane ingredients. But there's something in here that we've never tasted before. This is the taste of Krishna in the prasad. And so all of the devotees in the company of Lord Chaitanya, they relished it with their hairs standing on end. So tasting, then finally being able to see the Lord. When the devotee sees the form of Krishna, he looks at that beautiful form and he realizes all of the descriptions come nowhere near what I'm seeing right now. And they see Krishna looking at them and smiling. And they become overwhelmed and faint. So after going through all of the senses, then finally Krishna appears, and this is called Audarya, which means the highest form of mercy. Krishna appears again to the devotee and says, now you've worked so hard to come to this stage, you can look at me to your heart's content, and you can be with me. And he gives the devotee the ability to stay there and to hold that darshan. This is called audarya. So this is how Vishwanath describes it, and it's described in such detail you feel like, this guy knows what he's talking about. He's not just repeating something that he's read from a book. These are the kind of people we need to hear from. These are the kind of people we need to be with. This is the kind of book Narada Muni is asking Vyasadeva to write. And he's telling the story from his own experience because that's the best story. That's the most powerful story he had. So it's already 8:30. We'll open up now if there's any questions or discussions.